Okay, so we're ready.
Okay, so it's the 2nd of February, 2015, and this is Martha Jean Baker. And you wanted to know a little bit more about my activities in WILF in Seattle. After I joined, I became quite active. I went to meetings, some of which were quite deadly because people just liked hearing the sounds of their own voice and went on and on and on and on. But through my activity or through my membership in WILF in Seattle, I represented them on the Seattle Coalition for Peace in the Middle East.
So what year should we position ourselves? What year are we in?
This would have been 1987.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure, yeah, 87. And that's when I joined Seattle WILF. It would have been 87, I'm pretty sure. And then I would get involved in WILF activities, which included Hiroshima Day and various other kinds of events. I became, as I think I said, active in representing them in the Seattle Coalition mm-hmm. for Peace in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And as an official role within the section, I became legislative chair, which helped thinking of things that we could do to lobby the state legislature in Olympia, Washington, in the state of Washington.
So that was only at a state level, it wasn't that, just
that
a federal
was, well,
level?
That was at the state level at that point. And then I went to, I'm trying to think what year this would have been. It would probably, this can be checked up.
Really? We can check.
At one point, when I was in Seattle, I worked on the campaign for a man who became governor. His name was Mike Lowry. And the same, and I did things like solicit food for his and drink for his victory party.
Okay.
And I did, but it was. But the same year, there was a woman who was still in the Senate named Patty Murray, who was running for the Senate from the state of Washington, and she was running as, quote, the mom in tennis shoes. And she was elected, and she's still a senator. And shortly after she was elected, there was a WILF Congress in Richmond, Virginia, and I went as a delegate to that Congress, that U.S. Congress. And I had arranged after the Congress in Richmond to go to Washington, D.C. to lobby some of the Washington state legislators, federal legislators, on various issues near and dear to WILF. One of them was health care,
mm-hmm.
because Seattle had a congressman who was the only medical doctor in Congress, and he had put together a very fine health care
proposal.
I went to lobby Patty Murray. Now Patty Murray had just recovered from a serious illness, and she had the benefit of the fabulously wonderful health care insurance that federal employees, particularly senators, get. And I tried to lobby her to support what's his name? I can't think of his name right now. I can see his face. Her colleague's proposal, and she said, no, I'm going to support Clinton's proposal. And I said, well, Clinton doesn't have his proposal ready yet. Why don't you support this proposal? And then if Clinton's is better, you can change. She got a rating at one point of being like 110% following Clinton and what he wanted to do. I became quite disillusioned with her.
So you were lobbying as a member of WILF?
I was lobbying as a member of WILF.
Yeah.
I can't remember who else I spoke to that at that particular time.
And were you lobbying on your own, or were you with other Wills members?
I was lobbying on my own. I think I was on my own on that particular occasion. I'm pretty sure I was on my own on that particular occasion. But it's funny how you just don't remember sometimes.
And were you given training in lobbying, or was it something you just went straight in to do?
I think I knew what to do. I mean, I don't think I was given training. The one time I was sort of given training was before I went to the prep comms for the International Criminal Court. But again, I discovered everybody has their own style. I think I talked about that previously. And I found my own way into it.
So did you practice? Because I was thinking it's the sort of thing, you know, you might want to practice with other Wills members of role play or different scenarios, or was it just something you felt you went straight into?
I think I just went straight into it, because I've really never much been a loss for words. I've kind of known what I want to say, and almost always when I go to public meetings and there's a question answer time, discussion time, I will raise my hand and have something to say. And it's usually been triggered by something I've heard the other person say, and I'm pretty good at putting together in my mind what I want to say. And sometimes if I think I want to say a lot, I'll make a couple of notes. But so that was Seattle. When I moved to Chicago, I joined the Chicago branch. And although I knew almost certainly that I wasn't going to stay in Chicago, I joined the branch. It was a branch that had a fair amount of money in its bank account, but had suffered terribly during the McCarthy era. And so they weren't as active, although they weren't members. And so when another U.S. Congress was coming up, this time in Greeley, Colorado, I asked them if they would send me, and I went to that Congress. So I attended two U.S. Wills Congresses.
And so for that, is that there's different people from every section within the U.S. goes?
At that time, the U.S. section was divided up, had quite a substantial number of members, somewhere around 10,000, maybe even more. And the section was divided up into regions.
Okay.
And there were a certain number of regional representatives as well as branch representatives who were on the U.S. board, and branches could send people to the Congress. Anybody could go to the Congress in the U.S. And the Congress at that time conducted business to, you know, they had resolutions, they voted on candidates, which the U.S. section doesn't do anymore. Because I went to the U.S. section meeting last summer. And there's some people who are quite concerned about what it's become. But that's,
so when did that change? 'Cause
I don't know when it changed. Okay. But I know that the section membership is down to certainly under 5,000. I think even less than that. It's shrunk quite a bit. But that you'd have to talk to people from the U.S. to get the nitty gritty of what happened there.
So were there any particular people you met at the either of those congresses?
At both congresses, I met people who I either knew or got to know. At the one in Richmond, I arrived and somebody had seen the list of people coming and knew I was coming. And when I arrived, she was standing at the top of the stairs, and as I was coming in, and greeted me by name. She was a woman who's now about 90, so you know, substantially older than I am, who was recruited to Wilf by my mother. And it was nice to reconnect with her, and we've stayed in touch since then. And I got to know, you know, the major players in the U.S. at that at that Congress, and then I saw them again in Greeley. And Greeley was the first place, I only recently learned what it was called, but that where they did kind of what I guess is now called open space, where they told people if you have something you want to have a discussion about, put it up on the board, and a room will be assigned, and the rules for those were the people who come are the right people.
Mm-hmm.
However long it lasts is how long it was meant to last, and what happens is what was meant to happen. It was very loosey-goosey, but I liked it,
mm-hmm.
and I've actually proposed it
mm-hmm.
to something that's coming up here next month, which is the Assemblies for Democracy.
And is it going to be used?
Yeah. That's where I found out it was called open space.
Yeah.
I was describing it, saying, "Wait, this much better than planned workshops."
Yes.
Ooh, evil
yes.
workshops. is to have this kind of thing, and then rather than having speakers who go on interminably, you have what in the assemblies is going to be called lightning speakers. It was also at the can't remember which Congress it was, but the person who was president of the U.S. section at that time, who I think was Jean Gore, but I'm not 100% sure.
Mm-hmm.
There was a plenary, a large plenary, a couple hundred women,
mm-hmm.
roughly, and we were discussing certain issues like resolutions. And there was a person on one side of the room who took one position and a person on another who said something completely different. And there were like several different positions being taken. And so the person in the chair, who I think was Jean Gore, it was amazing. I've never seen this done before or since. She looked around at the key loudmouths on different sides, different aspects of the issue, and said, you. Leave the room and come to something on this topic that all of you can agree and bring it back to us. And they did, and so there was she was able to build a large consensus each time. It was amazing. So, U.S., shortly after the Greeley, not too long after the Greeley Congress,
mm-hmm.
actually, is when I left Chicago.
Because you were training to be a lawyer in Chicago.
Yeah.
And now one of the things I wanted to pick up on from last time was you had said you'd had a meeting before you trained to be a lawyer, finding out if that would be helpful to Wilf.
To Wilf, yeah, with Edith.
So did that decide your...
Well, that was an encouragement. That was that was a strong encouragement.
Mm.
And Edith and I have become good friends since then. And Edith has been one of the few people who's been really active in the International Constitution Committee, this both previously and this year. So fast forward, get to London. I knew that there was going to be an international, I think what was then called IEC, which is now called IB, an international board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I was the one responsible for changing the name of that, because I thought that calling it the IEC, the International Executive Committee, when it's at that large a group,
mm-hmm.
was a misnomer.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the name changed to International Board. And then the actual executive, the president and vice presidents, became known as the International Executive, or what's now called the XCOM. Anyway, so I knew that they were due to have this meeting. Ironically, initially when I moved to London, I was living in near Primrose Hill.
This is in 1997?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we moved here something like April,
mm-hmm.
and whenever the election was that elected Tony Blair, I think that was
April. It would have been late April, early
yeah.
May. It would have been May, probably.
I think it was April, but I don't know. But anyway, We moved in, and we were getting settled, and so I had it in my mind that in August there was going to be this meeting of the IEC, as it was called then, in London, or anyway in the UK. And so, and I had the name and phone number, names of a couple of people. Well, one of them was Richenda Barber, who I think somebody's doing history with as
well.
Yes, I think so. And I had Richenda's phone number, and I can't remember what other phone numbers I may have had. And I remember, it got to be August, like it was the 1st of August. And I called her number, and her husband answered and said, "I'm sorry, she's away for the week, for a few days." So when she got back, I spoke to her, and it turned out she was away. They had had this residential IEC, and that's where she was. But there was going to be, I guess, I don't know whether it was I don't know who the people were, but there was going to be a follow-up meeting for some of the international Wolf people, and it was taking place at what was then the Friends International Center in Bing Place, which is like 2 minutes walk if you walk slowly from where I am sitting right now.
Mm-hmm.
So Malcolm and I found our way over to that, because I knew that place, because my first husband and I had stayed there for several months in 1968.
Mm-hmm.
So we went over there, got there just as they were finishing, I think, breakfast. Edith was there, and I connected with a number of people there, but we had other plans, but we agreed to meet a whole group of people Maria Castellanos, from Chile, and there was Pocha Maria Pagano from Argentina, and there was Cherry Padilla from Philippines, and there were a couple of others, and we agreed to meet them later that day for a meal, and then to go to a jazz concert, which we did. So that made me feel very connected with these international. It was the first time I really felt connected with some of the international women. And because of that meeting, every time I went to Chile, I would meet with the Chilean woman and the women who were the active in the Chilean section, although alas, I'm sad to say they've just resigned as a section.
Yeah.
So I after that I just a second. So after that, I became active in the section. Executive meetings of the UK section are open to any member. And so although I wasn't a member of the executive, I went to the meetings. And they were held in various different places at different times throughout the years. There was a period of time when they would meet after we'd moved into this flat, where they would meet here before they had the office. And you know, after showing up at these meetings and on a regular basis, I was fairly quickly elected to the UK executive as a member at large, or whatever they call it. And
so not a specific role?
No.
No.
And again, you know, there was a section at that time called London Lunch, which initially met in this women's center that used to exist near Holborn, and then after that it moved to the, I think it's the Baptist Church, also not far from Holborn, near, and I used to go to those meetings fairly regularly, and they Richenda and I can't think of her name at the moment. were sort of the chair, the conveners or chair of that meeting. And there was there were times where it was very interesting and very good speakers, but it eventually petered out. In I think it was 92, but this can all be checked.
Yeah.
There was the Congress in Kungälv in Sweden. And that was the first international congress I went to. It was interesting and it was fun and I met lots of people. Just to go backwards for a second, the Richmond Congress, it was very hot while we were there. And it was summer, I can remember getting a glass of ice and walking from the place where I got the ice to the place we were meeting, and half of it would have melted by the time I just went there. And there were these fountains on campus, and in the evenings, several weeks, people started gathering in the fountains and frolicking in the fountains, which was at night, which was good fun. And there were, again, a number of the international people who I got to know there, and the president of the section and that. Anyway, so we're back here, and I in Sweden, and I arrived, and I was told that the executive meeting was going on, but that Wilf meetings were open to anybody, so I went and sat in on that, and then I went and sat in on the IEC meeting, which was still called at that point, and I'm not one to sit silently in a corner. I opened my mouth and I here and there. And one of the things that they wanted to do, and I can't remember whether it was the IEC or the Congress that ultimately decided this, but there had been an experiment with a different model of how Wilf would be run, which hadn't been successful for a variety of reasons. And there were people who felt very strongly about that new model, and people felt very strongly about other models. And so they put together an ad hoc committee that got to meet while the others were playing and having fun in the evenings in between, and to come up with a proposal for the last session of the Congress of a structure and how Wilf should operate. And it was interesting. Again, because there were the former Secretary General Barbara Lochbihler was part of that group. It was a very
Were you part of that?
Han Dekeler. I was part of that group. I was part of that group.
Yeah. And was the old way of doing things how they'd always done it, or had there been other changes over the years?
I don't know, but basically we talked it through, and there were people who had very definite ideas that were not the same when they came in. And by the end of the Congress, after talking it through and talking it through and talking it through, we actually all agreed. And what we agreed was basically the structure that Wilf had always had. And then the question was, how do we sell it to the Congress as something that is new? Or is, And basically, we were able to, sort of look at it and as a triangle with the ultimate authority in Wilf being the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And then the different levels, the executive, which reports to the IEC, which reports, in the sections, and with the staff kind of at the bottom, which at that point there wasn't a lot of staff at all, but the staff at the bottom being the people who did the bidding of the triangle. And it was presented by somebody who was highly respected. I even think it might have been Bobsey who did it, but I can't, again, that would be in the minutes, or, and tried to explain that we'd gotten away from recognizing that this is, that the Congress is the opinion and the what makes the decisions. And some of us are actually kind of annoyed this year because the Congress is being, is not being given enough time, and things are trying, there's a bit of a stitch up in advance. There was a woman there who was head of a who was from California. I can describe her. She's tall. She had one leg. She was head of something called she was trying to identify, I can't remember suddenly the full name of the committee, but she was head of a committee job was to identify and recruit people for different jobs and there was a woman named Mari from Norway who had been the convener of the Constitution Committee for Donkey's Years, and probably had been the whole committee for Donkey's Years, and she didn't want to continue anymore. And the woman whose name keeps floating through my mind, but this can all be checked, approached me and asked me if I would be willing to be the convener of the Constitution Committee, since I was a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And I had sort of wanted to be convener of the personnel committee, but I said, sure, I'd do that. So I became the convener. So
can you explain to me the difference between the two committees?
Constitution Committee looks at the Constitution and sees where it needs to be amended, whether it's still fit for purpose, what it needs. Well, the personnel committee is in charge of the staff.
And in terms of recruitment and...
Recruitment of staff.
Yeah.
Monitoring staff, those kinds of things. And there was a woman who had been, it seemed to me, who's I think now head of the Swedish section, who had been in just about every committee, I mean, at the same time, Kirsti Koltoff. She was the vice president at that time. And she also went on to become president of the European Women's Lobby. But not representing Wilf, but Jill would say she was from Wilf, which is why people wouldn't vote for me for the board, because they already had a board member. Because she was a board member by right, because she was representing the Swedish women's lobby, but she would always talk about being Wilf. But anyway, so I was asked, and then it was, I think at that point, it was for the, I can't remember what it was, Congress or the IEC that had to appoint me officially, but I was asked, and it was kind of like a done deal. So I went around the room, finding people from every part of every section, but every region of the world, and recruiting them to be on the Constitution Committee, because I felt we needed diversity and we needed a big committee. And it's good that I did, because some of them became active in the committee, and as happens, some did nothing, or little or nothing. But at that time, the Constitution said that, our bylaws said that sections could submit amendments. So the committee came up with a whole bunch of stuff that we wanted, that we thought were needed, but we had no power to submit amendments on our own. So we went to the rather poisonous Congress that was in Bolivia.
So you became the convener of the Constitution
Committee.
Committee after the Congress in Sweden.
After the Congress in Sweden.
Which I've just realised we'd written down 1992.
I think that's when it was.
But was this not after you'd moved to London?
Yeah, this was after I was...
Well, that was 97 that you moved
to. No, 87. 87 I moved to London.
Ah, but you said it was when Tony Blair was elected.
Was it?
Tony Blair was elected in 1997.
Okay, then it was...
So was it actually 2002?
Yeah, it would have been 2002. Yeah. Yeah.
I suddenly thought we're going...
Yeah. It must be. Yeah. Anyway,
now we're in Bolivia.
Before we got to Bolivia, we sent out our proposals to all the sections, hoping they would submit them. And they basically cherry-picked. And they picked... One of the ones that we proposed was that what was going to be called after that, an IB meeting before Congress, the IB could and it was a renewable thing, so it had to be done each time, could empower the Constitution Committee to submit amendments on its own. And as a member of the UK section, I could not get the UK section to submit all the things we wanted. So I picked certain things that I thought were really important, and that was one of them. But basically, things were cherry-picked, and that one got passed. And some others got passed, but others that should have made fit in terms of a package did not get passed. So the Constitution has been with holes in it since Bolivia.
And can you remember the date of Bolivia, or should I look?
That would have been about 3 years later, so that...
2005? Maybe.
Probably.
We can check.
And then, yeah. We didn't submit very many... proposed amendments, I think, at the one in Costa Rica. And now this year, the committee, this year, at the IB meeting that empowered the Constitution Committee to submit, they also passed a resolution that, since the Standing Finance Committee only had 7 members, and 7 members was the best and the right number for standing committees, that all standing committees could only have 7 members. And they imposed that in effect on me, except I wasn't the convener at that point. I was, at that point, the ex-com liaison.
Mm-hmm.
And Annalise Ebbe from Denmark was the convener. And so we had to come up with, we did a fudge. There were 7 members, but we didn't count the convener as a member. We didn't count me as a liaison as a member. We didn't count Mari, who didn't do anything this year anyway, but wanted to be on the committee, but she was kind of so we called her the advisor. And then there were a couple of people I knew from experience would work and would be good. And at least one of them, I was told she could not be on the committee. Some people vetoed her. So I had what I called observers. And I dare say if some of my ex-com colleagues knew who one of the most active members of the committee was and was one of the observers, they would... I mean, I can't think of something, but it was good we had the observers, because of the official committee members, okay, first of all, Annalise did nothing, and ultimately I was appointed co-convener, and then about a week ago, Annalise resigned as convener, finally. I haven't done anything, so I guess I'm not convener anymore, but one of the, of the people who are officially on the committee, Edith is the only really active member.
Mm-hmm.
Edith, there are 2 active members. Edith and a woman named Lynn Lane, who I hope will be an elected vice president, who's from Australia. Lynn, we couldn't have done this without the 2 of them and 1 of the observers. Lynn, we solicited comments from sections and individuals, and we and every time we got new comments, I would take the comments this, and I would assign that section or that person or whatever a color and a font, because not everybody has color printers, and I put it, you know, a lexicon at the beginning saying purple means blah 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 da da da, you know. And so we had this long run-on document where all of the comments were put into the main document, but visible, so you could look through them, which is why, much to the frustration of a lot of the members, we cannot send them track changes, because we didn't work that way.
Yeah.
And so then we had a meeting with the GoToMeeting. You've heard of GoToMeeting?
No.
GoToMeeting is one of these...
Oh, yes, GoToMeeting, sorry, yes, you mean online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we had a
GoToMeeting. I thought it was some Wilf thing.
No. And a couple of the other official members did participate, but, you know, in a very limited, very constructive, but limited way.
Mm.
So we had a GoToMeeting, and because it was, I had the screen, so as we went through, we did the editing together, and I had decided before that meeting that I was going to ask Lynn if she would take what we've done and clean it up and put it together. And I asked her, and she said, much to my delight, she said, oh, I was going to volunteer. So she's been calling herself the scribe now. And she's, I mean, without her work, so...
So that's all quite recent, is it, or is that...
Well, that's within the last few months.
Okay, yeah.
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 So we just sent off the committee report and the not quite final draft to sections and IB members with the request that they look at it closely, that our work plan was such that if they had comments or amendments, we the committee would look at them. If we agreed with them, we would put them in the document. If we didn't agree with them, we would put them in the document in red, in italics, in square brackets. And all the things that were red, italics, and square brackets would be things that would be voted on separately at Congress. But after we voted on those, hopefully few things, we're voting up or out for the whole package. I will not have us go through it article by article.
So when is the Congress?
The Congress is in April.
So very soon.
Yeah. So our next major work for this committee will be the end of this month.
Mm-hmm. So what, if we were talking in 3 months' time, what would be your hopes of what are the successes or outcomes of that Congress?
I would hope that a congenial, good executive was elected, that from the very first meeting had understood that they were going to work as a team. And
does everyone work, because you're mentioning GoToMeeting, is everyone in different countries? So
oh yeah.
Yeah, so you're all working through email and
yeah. Okay. So I mean, Lynn's in Australia, Edith's in Sweden, the observers in the US. We've had occasional participation from somebody in Nigeria and somebody in Philippines.
Mm-hmm. And do you, because I'm thinking, so since you've been involved on an international level, you presume, have you always had email?
I've had email. I first got email before Microsoft had Windows.
Because I'm just thinking I'm wondering what it was like, you know, before that, in terms of how the correspondence was managed or communication.
I think people made a lot more phone calls.
Yeah, okay.
And of course, yeah.
And all in English? How is it?
Well, that's the operating language at this
point,
is English.
Okay.
Although we're going to try to have some interpretation, at least at the conference in April.
So one thing I was thinking, so since you've been in London since 1997, when we spoke before, you were saying you've devoted your time to WILF. Were you doing, what other things were you doing? Were you doing any other campaigns or any other paid work? Or
In UK?
In the UK, yeah.
Well, I've done some work with Malcolm, a lot of it having to do with computer, because I'm far more computer literate with it than him. And it's because I'm a lawyer, we have a legal partnership, and he can share his information
mm-hmm.
with me without it being a breach of confidentiality.
Yeah.
So I you know, he runs a lot of things by me. I've done some work with him. I was consulted by a previous president about international president about something that had happened and whether it was legal, and I gave legal
mm-hmm.
advice on that. I would say most of what I've done, am doing here in the UK is in some way or another a spin-off or related to WILF. I mean, there was something called the Women's National Commission International Working Group, and I was represented WILF there, and actually a lot of people got to know WILF through that, and a few joined WILF. One of the funniest things was shortly after I joined that people were going to CSW, the Commission on the Status of Women, and in a very patronizing way, because I was new and they didn't know me and they didn't know what was, well, you know, metaphorically patting me on the head saying, well, you know, you have to have this special kind of permission from the UN or you can't go. And I had the great pleasure of telling these women that WILF had the first permission as a women's organization from the UN to do this, so that was not a problem. I represented WILF at the Assembly of States Parties of the ICC, and before the ICC came into being, the prep comms working on elements of crimes, where again I was officially representing WILF. There's an organization called UK Race in Europe Network, and some time ago I was appointed the representative from WILF, and every once in a while I've asked if anybody else wants to do it, and nobody's stepped forward, so I keep doing that. I'm trying to think.
It sounds busy.
and relatively recently, Malcolm and I have joined and become not hugely active, but somewhat active in the Labour Party.
Mm-hmm.
We've also recently joined a different synagogue. We were members of another one before. And I've become sort of active in their social action
mm-hmm.
kind of thing
mm-hmm.
committee. And they have a multi-faith work that they do, which is interesting. And at this time of year in the winter, they are with six churches. They run a winter night shelter.
Mm-hmm.
So about three times so far, I've cooked for the winter night shelter, and I'll be doing it three or four more times.
And you talked about lobbying when you were in Chicago or Seattle. Have you done anything sort of like that here?
Well, whenever there are issues that are important to WILF, I have phoned usually phoned my MP,
mm-hmm.
but I've been lucky to have one who basically agrees with everything,
mm-hmm.
and I hope he's retiring this year, and hopefully the one replacing him will be as good, if not better, I hope. Yeah, and recently there's an international initiative working toward an international binding norm on violence against women, involving everything from domestic violence to FGM,
mm-hmm.
Forced marriage,
mm-hmm.
and I've become involved in the Europe team of that. And that reminds me of something else I want to write down.
So do you have your Wilf hat on for that, or is that a...
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they know I'm Wilf.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not entirely sure all the things I will do or what I will be doing after April. Nobody asked me if I wanted to stand for re-election, but I would have turned them down. But I kind of suddenly feel sad that no one asked me. But
but do you think you'll still be involved?
I'll remain a member. How involved I'll be depends on a variety of things.
Mm-hmm.
What the section wants here, what the new international XCOM want, whether they want me to do some things, whether the inner, you know.
Mm-hmm. And is there anything in the last, say, 15 years that you would have done differently, or that you've reflected on, or I don't know, wanted to have changed in any way?
Well, I mean, there are certain things about me that I wish were different. Like, I wish I didn't cry so easily. And I wish, sometimes I wish I didn't take some things so seriously and personally and get so really excited about them. Or...
That sounds like a positive to me, if you get
passionate
about things. Do you find it gets in the way? Or...
Well, I do find it gets in the way. And we had a few years ago, I mean, the section used to be much stronger, and we a few years ago had a new executive, and we hired somebody from the Quakers to do a one-day thing with us, so that we learned to work together. Because things had become broken. And the person who I happen to know from another context, but that was neither here nor there, the person who was leading it, facilitating it, started with the very broad and narrowed it down to the individual. And so in the last section of it, we were at this meeting, and we were asked to pair up with twos, and we were told to be honest with ourselves and about ourselves, and we were supposed to say what we did and be self-critical and say what, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we broke up for the twos, the pairing, and Sheila immediately came over and grabbed me and said, "I want to work with you," and my heart sank. And I mean, you've probably heard, maybe you haven't, that Sheila is, shall we say, somewhat controversial among...
I haven't. I've met her once, that's all.
Okay. Well, she pulled me in and said... And so we sat down, and I started, and I was very honest about, you know, this and that. And then it was her turn. And she said, "Well, you know, I know I speak a lot at meetings, but everything I say is very important." At which point I was in tears. I mean, the whole reconciliation failed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there have been some difficult things that the section has gone through and hasn't really recovered from it. I mean, a woman who used to be very active in the section, who stood back from being active in the section a few years ago. And when I was elected vice president internationally, I contacted her and asked her if she'd be interested in being nominated for the international board member, which I had been. And after some discussion, she became active. And she's been very, very good at that. And a few months ago, we had some vacancies as international vice mm-hmm. president, and she was elected. I had wanted her to be nominated by the section for president, but because of things that had happened, the section sees her as only being negative and not a team player and not working, but she's great.
Mm.
So, you know.
So with this pairing, when you burst into tears, what happened then? Was there a reconciliation?
No, not really.
No.
No. And at this point, I don't know what they're going to do with the AGM, which comes up next month. At this point, we don't have a president or vice presidents. And I think Anne, who's the secretary, is not going to want to continue as secretary. So I don't know what's going to happen with the section.
Mm-hmm.
Anne asked me if I wanted to be nominated for any of the UK executive roles. And since I'm still involved with the international through April, and then I think I need a rest,
mm-hmm.
I said, not at this time.
Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking there's sort of two. I'm thinking, what would you say to your successor on the international level about where you'd like Wilf to go for the next, say, 100 years, as it's the centenary?
I want Wilf to continue to press on issues. I would like Wilf to, executive and board to keep reminding the Secretary General and the staff that this is a membership organization and get the membership more involved. I would like, as conflicts in the world remain flashpoints, that we look again at our foremothers who put together delegations that went to see heads of state. A few years ago, before there was an IB meeting, or IEC as it was called then, I think it was in New Zealand, Adel from Norway was here to speak to the UK section. This flat has become kind of an informal Wilf hotel for people who come here. Not all of them, but many. And we've had international Wilf meetings here and various. But Adel, and because it's central, it's nice and
central. It is very central. Yeah.
So Adel and I were talking about the delegations, and it was after 2000, September 11th, whatever,
mm-hmm.
So, you know.
9/11, yeah.
9/11. And it was, you know, the Iraq war was
mm-hmm.
blazing. And she and I decided that Wilf should reinstate this. And she was going to the meeting in, I think she was going, but we, in any case, we referred that proposal to the meeting in New Zealand, or wherever it was, the IEC meeting, and nothing was done about it. They were told, we referred it as a resolution. I think we referred it as a resolution and were told it was not a resolution. It was a program idea, at which point it died right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'd like to see more younger women become stronger and more active.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard because younger women of a certain age are either at university or they're working,
mm-hmm.
and they have time, but they don't have a lot of time. And then at certain stage they may continue working, but they may also be married and have children,
mm-hmm.
at which point they have less time. And it's only as they get older and their children are grown that they suddenly have time again. And that's a challenge for Wilf, is keeping women active through the...
And are there any particular aspirations or tips you've got for the UK? Is it the UK section or is it the London section?
It's the UK section, it's a London branch.
Yeah. Is there anything particular from a UK perspective, since you've been involved with it for so long, that you think, you know, going forward would be... I suppose I'm thinking, what were the successes in your time from the UK perspective, and then what could you build upon going forward?
Well, I think the UK, well, the UK section needs a lot of stuff. I mean, I haven't been as active in it since I became vice president. I gave myself permission not to go to all the executive meetings, although I'm theoretically part of it. Well, I think that it needs to be more coherent on campaigns. I think it needs to accept and value the Wilf Trust,
mm-hmm.
which I set up, and their trustees.
And what does the trust do?
Well, the trust was set, Wilf was trying to raise money, and a lot of the places it was trying to raise money required the organization to be a registered charity.
Yeah.
So I looked into it and effectively registered a charity called the Wilf Charity, modeled after the Amnesty International
mm-hmm.
charity of the same name as the organization Amnesty International.
Mm-hmm.
And I checked with the people at the Charities Commission about, are we allowed to basically be a flow-through?
Mm-hmm.
And I was hoping that Wilf would try to raise money and come.
Mm-hmm.
There's this thing that called Give As You Live.
Yes, I've heard of that. Yeah.
Where if you buy anything online and you've signed up to it as a Wilf supporter, a certain percentage of what you spend, with no extra charge to goes to the organization. And only 15 women in all of UK Wilf have ever signed up to that. And I'm probably the most active one.
We've got 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else particular? Just thinking about the centenary and who might be listening to this in however many years, that you know, want to sort of put down for the archive, or a particular memory or a particular success or a particular...
Well, I think I just hope the Congress is a success, and I wish that there was more time,
mm-hmm.
because that's a time when members should have time with members to think about things, to work at things, to have, I mean, the Swedish Congress, you know, had speakers that they brought in who were to either inspiring or uninspiring, as the case may be, but challenging, you know, in some way. And the Congress itself has no time for political work, really.
And that's a change, is it? Is it normal?
Well,
not longer?
Well, it's supposed to. There have been Congresses where they forgot to do that. But the one in Bolivia forgot to put together a program.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Okay. Is there anything else, or should I stop?
I can't think of anything else right now,
no,
but if you do,
always...
feel free to
yep.
ask. And thank you. Good luck. Are you a member?